Welcome to this week's International News Desk special. I'm your host, Sean Robertson. Of course, I'm not alone. I'm joined by Kurt the Dirt Buckerfield. How are you, sir?
Sean, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm very, very well, thanks, buddy. Not too much happening out there in terms of transfers, but we were briefly speaking off air about how spoilt the United fans are this season, and especially in the off season. Should we start off there and not
to say what's happening, but what's not happening, I guess. It's quite dull, isn't it?
Yes, it's the first time, I think, in a decade that United haven't made a June signing.
Wow.
The first time in 10 years. So, yeah, it seems like there was, a lot of excitement surrounding Ten Hag's appointment, but that initial enthusiasm seems to have already gone. United fans are furious. Nobody's looking forward to the season. And something that I find quite shocking, pre-season starts on the 27th of June. Gotcha. So in less than a week's time, the United's pre-season begins, and not a single signing has been made yet. So, you know, I do think that United fans have all the right in the world to be frustrated and to be concerned as to how next season will go. So let's see what happens. But it's been obviously a very slow window. A lot of outgoings. A lot of players have left on as free agents.
Yeah.
And I've seen that Ten Hag has told the likes of Aaron Wan-Bissaka and Eric Bailly and Brandon Williams that they are free to find new clubs.
Oh, wow.
So they are more than happy to get rid of players, but they seem to be stumbling when it comes to arrivals. So it's very concerning. I think the player probably closest to joining United at this point, as things stand, is Frankie de Jong from Barcelona, of course. But I've read that United and Barcelona are between 10 and 15 million apart in their valuation of de Jong. And that's frustrating because, you know, he's a really good player. He's just 25 years old. As a United fan, you're probably thinking, just pay the money, give them what they want. I've read that they want 86 million euros, so that's somewhere around 70 million pounds. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's completely worth it. So I don't really understand the delay and the reluctance from United's end. But on the other hand, I have read that United's new sporting director, John Murtough, is sort of gaining this reputation as a strong negotiator and is looking to sort of set things right. You know, in the past, United were always taken advantage of in terms of transfer fees. So 80 million for Maguire, 50 million for Wan-Bissaka.
Harry!
Yeah. So I think that they're trying to put that right. They're trying to put an end to clubs demanding maybe 20-30 million more than they would from another club.
Yeah.
So I do sort of respect that. Mm-hmm. But I, again, completely understand the concern from United fans.
And reports yesterday, Man United transfer chiefs have reportedly flown into the Netherlands to complete the final stages of a move for Ajax star Antony. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, so even just with that sort of rumour, I don't really understand where it is at the moment because, of course, I saw that report saying that United are closing in on the deal for Antony, who is a very talented Brazilian international, has done really well since joining Ajax.
Yes.
Good player and would be a good signing, or it seemed it would be a good signing.
Yeah.
But then I read that United are willing to, or are preparing an initial bid. So I don't think that those two things, you know, necessarily make sense. We're closing in on the deal and then we're preparing our first bid. So I'm not really sure what's going on. And that's what's been the most sort of frustrating thing for me of this transfer window when it comes to United, that there's tons of rumors, you know, United closing in on De Jong, closing in on Antony. We had apparently agreed terms with Timber a month ago already, but none of these deals are materializing. So I don't know if it's agents using United to drum up interest, if these news stories are just completely fabricated, made up. That's what's been hard about this. It's difficult to actually track where we are when it comes to United's first signing.
Yeah.
I did see a rumor yesterday saying that United could look to sign Antony, De Jong, and then there's Lisandro Martinez, who's another Ajax player, all before the end of this week, but that seems so unbelievable at this point.
Yeah, it's talks of Henderson leaving the second choice goalkeeper as well to Nottingham Forest, I believe. So they'll be looking for a backup keeper for De Gea, which will be interesting. Let's move on swiftly. Romelu Lukaku. This guy just makes bucks there. He's edging closer to a loan return to Inter. Apparently after a 3-hour talk with Chelsea on Monday, the Inter owner Steven Zhang has signed off on a £6 million upfront fee with additional £1.7 million in potential bonuses. Quite an underwhelming season, I think, for him. But again, moving to a monster club, it seems.
Yeah, terribly underwhelming season. 15 goals in 40 odd matches. After becoming Chelsea's most expensive signing of all time. So, things didn't work out. I think the difficulty for Lukaku was playing against teams that sort of just sit back. Chelsea are a possession-heavy side, so it was always going to be difficult for him because at Inter Milan, he had acres of space to run into. Inter Milan were very much a counter-attacking team under Conte. And you see that same sort of brand of football at Spurs now with Conte. So I think it was always going to be interesting, you know, as to how it was going to play out. It hasn't worked. And I think that it's probably the right move for Lukaku to go back to Inter Milan, where he had so much joy against those Italian defenders. Mm-hmm. He scored heaps of goals at Inter. I've read that he's taking quite a substantial pay cut to make this move back to Inter Milan. And there's no obligation to buy or no option to buy. So who knows what will happen at the end of next season. But as far as I've read, it looks like it's pretty much confirmed. He will definitely be going back to Inter Milan.
Okay. Well, that's something to watch. My man Sterling, it seems potentially interested in going to Chelsea or Chelsea interesting to sign him. What do you think of that? It's a bizarre one. I suppose Guardiola's squad is so deep now with the signing of Haaland, Jesus possibly leaving to Arsenal, I believe, Grealish is signed. What do you think of this?
I actually think that for Chelsea it would be an excellent signing. He's done really well at City since joining from Liverpool. I think it was in 2015.
Mm, 7 years ago, can you believe it?
7 years ago, and he's 27 years old still, Sean.
It's crazy.
He's really young. He's been capped 77 times for England. So he comes in with a wealth of experience. But I think that with regards to how Pep might be feeling about this. So there was a time last season where Sterling was completely out of favor. It was early last season. And reports had said that he was going to be off to Barcelona. Real Madrid were apparently interested. Yeah. So it was sort of well known that Sterling was looking for a way out. And that Pep wasn't really going to budge, wasn't going to put him back into the starting 11. But that changed. Sterling played himself back into form, back into the side, and actually ended the season quite strongly. Mm-hmm. But I think that with Haaland coming in now, with Julian Alvarez also coming in from River Plate, that deal was announced, I think, in January already.
Yes.
Pep's sort of happy to sell one or two attacking players. So yes, Gabriel Jesus will be off to Arsenal. And at this point, it looks like Sterling is pretty close to joining Chelsea. I've read that he's already been asking many of his England teammates who play for Chelsea, you know, what it's like to play under Tuchel, what it's like playing for Chelsea. Mm-hmm. So he's been doing his own research into, his potential move. And I think it's probably going to happen. And again, I think it's a great signing for Chelsea. He can play anywhere across the front. Like I said, he's got tons of experience, tons of Premier League experience. So he comes in with pedigree. I think it will work out. I think it's a great deal. And around 35 million, I've read, 40 million, which seems like a steal.
It does. I don't understand that one. Unless there's something going behind the scenes in terms of sell-on clauses and whatnot. But I was going high 80s.
Yeah, no, it's quite incredible. Another thing to consider here is that I think that this is the market now. I don't think clubs outside of England can afford to pay the sort of wages that Sterling's on. So he's probably earning around 300 a week, 300,000 pounds a week. And clubs like Barcelona, clubs like Bayern Munich, Juventus, they don't give out contracts like that very easily. I think Real Madrid would probably be the only team in the world that can afford that. Mm. But there's probably a question there as to how serious their interest was. There's probably nothing concrete from there. So, yeah, Chelsea can afford that. Lukaku was earning 300 a week or 350 a week. So I think it makes sense. It's a, like I said, I think it's a steal for Chelsea. Yes. Excellent business. I'm happy that Raheem Sterling will be staying in the Premier League. I know he gets a lot of flack. He's probably not, you know, the greatest finisher in the game, but he's a hard worker. He's proven that he can play in systems. I don't think anybody saw him doing as well as he did for City when he signed for Liverpool in 2015. He was very raw, but he sort of grew into a really well-rounded player.
Matured.
He matured. He does really well for England, again, in a system. He's very disciplined. He works hard. I think he gives you goals. He gives you assists. He gives you tons of pace, obviously. So, no, I think it's exciting for Chelsea. And, yeah, that should be... Well, we don't know when that will be announced or when that will be confirmed, but it looks very likely to happen. Julian Alvarez, the player coming in from River, I think he's like 23, 24 years old. He's an Argentina international. Pep has apparently been really excited by what he's seen from him over the last couple of months in Argentina and wants to work with him right away. So I was thinking to myself, why would you get rid of Gabriel? Why would you get rid of Sterling for an unproven player who has to come to the Premier League and sort of prove himself and play in this really, really, probably the toughest league in the world?
Sure.
Why would you do that? Why would you risk that? But it seems like Pep has been really impressed by what he's seen and is now sort of willing to let both of them go.
Kuddy, I think it's safe to say that Pep knows what he's doing. So let's just watch that one closely. Let's move on swiftly to the last story, I guess. And again, we were speaking briefly off air, Kuddy, about Mane going to Bayern Munich. Hasn't been confirmed as of yet, I believe. There's a discrepancy in terms of the initial fee. I think Bayern offered 27.4. Liverpool looking around the 35 million mark. Is that correct?
No, so it's been confirmed. Not announced yet by Bayern, but Mane has already been pictured in Bayern gear. He did his medicals yesterday and everything like that. So it's all but confirmed. It's just the official announcement we're waiting for.
And well deserved, right? We've been speaking about this for a good few months now. He obviously leaves Liverpool as a legend. Is that fair to say?
For sure. 6 years, he won every trophy he could have possibly won. 168 goal contributions in, I think it was over 200 matches. Mm-hmm. No, a Liverpool legend through and through. Great player. It was incredible to watch him in the Premier League. A great professional. I think you were going to say that. Great professional. And I think that he does deserve to be on bigger wages. He was only earning 100... I don't know when I say only. But he was only earning £100,000 a week. And when you compare that to the likes of Salah and Virgil van Dijk and Thiago, it's less than double that. So I do think that he deserves a bigger package, and it's maybe time for him to make some bank. I've seen that he's going to be earning somewhere between 200 and 250 euros, pounds in Germany. So it's an exciting move for him. Liverpool obviously didn't want to sell him, but they couldn't match his demands. He had a contract in England that would have expired next year. Mm-hmm. They couldn't meet his demands. Obviously they are also negotiating with Mohamed Salah over a new deal. So they couldn't make both of them happy, unfortunately. But I think Liverpool were happy to sell him too when he made it clear that he wanted to go. He said that as soon as he heard from his agent that Bayern were interested in him, that was his first choice. I don't want to join any other club but Bayern Munich. So he wants to go there too, and I think that he'll probably feel that he... Maybe not that he has anything to prove, but that he might want to show Liverpool that maybe you should have, you know, given me a bit more in my time there. I don't think he'll feel ungrateful. I think that Mane loved his time in England at Liverpool. Mm-hmm. But he might feel like, you know, let me show them that I was probably worth more than £100,000 a week. So yeah, that's moments away from being official. It's going to be announced today.
But it has to be said, it's probably very good business for Liverpool. They signed Mane for £34 million back in 2016, and they've sold him for 35 or 34. So to get their money back on a player 6 years later, I think it's good business.
Yeah, and for a 30-year-old, yeah, it's excellent yeah. business.
Curti, anything you want to add, bud, for next week? What should we keep our eyes and ears open for?
You know, Sean, just keep out, keep an eye on all that Manchester United. transfer business. I'm sure there will be a signing soon.
Sure, there is the backup goalkeeper.
The backup goalkeeper, yeah, yes. Or backup left back or something like that.
Yeah.
But one more thing I just wanted to add was that Zinedine Zidane had been linked with PSG with Pochettino on his way out. But the PSG president, I think it was on Tuesday night, came out to say that they've never been in contact with Zidane. It's not going to happen. Zidane seems to be waiting for the French job. So if that becomes available after the World Cup later this year, it looks like he will replace Deschamps. But no, he definitely won't be going to PSG. But other than that, yeah, just keep an eye out for all the transfer rumors. I'm sure there's lots to come still.
And Curti, thank you so much. That is how we wrap up today's episode of the International News Desk. So whether you have been listening on SL Podcasts or Zero Today, Google Play or Apple Podcasts, thank you for tuning in. I've been your host, Sean Roberts. And of course, Mr. Kurt Blackerfield, thank you, sir.
Cheers, Shawnee. Thank you.